You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy.
This is In Demand, and tonight it is a pleasure to welcome to the show Bruno Mars. Hello and welcome, sir.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
That sounds familiar. What an amazing year so far. Let's start with B.O.B., Nothing On You.
Yeah.
Which would be a good place. It was the first time you came to our attention. So tell us about Nothing On You and B.O.B. and how that all came about in the first place.
We were working for Atlantic Records at the time and came up with that little ditty when we had beautiful girls. And they came to us and they said, man, we love this hook. You know, we're really looking for B.O.B.'s first single. And this, you know, this could be it. Would you guys mind if B.O.B. took a stab at it? And we've been fans of B.O.B. I met B.O.B. in the studio a couple times, and he's just like this extremely talented young guy, and he's playing guitar, and he's singing and doing all these things. And, you know, we started talking about different kinds of music. So when they asked us, we were just like, absolutely. And he came to the studio and just tore it up.
And one of the first songs that properly defined 2010 in terms of the amount of times it's been played on radio, and people fell in love with it pretty much instantly. And then came this huge hit with Travie McCoy.
Oops.
And we thought this wasn't going to get any better, kind of music. But Billionaire, potentially, until we get to your solo stuff, one of my favourite songs of the year.
Thank you.
And we had Travie on the show a few weeks ago, and he was just overwhelmed with how successful the song had been.
Yeah, man. You know, the funny thing about that is I wrote that part in London, flat broke. I had no money. I was working for a record company, and they gave me $500, which is like £200.
Yeah.
And you know, we had to live off of that for about a week and a half. And you know, we're just scratching our heads, and we were walking down the streets, and I was just started humming, "I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad," and it stuck. And played it for Travis, and Travis said, "Yo, I love that song. I love it, but." You know, if I rap on it, I'd have to say what I do with $1 billion, because he's not the type of artist that'd be going to the strip clubs and buying lavish things. You know, he's such a big-hearted dude, and he just got off doing this big charity thing for MTV, and he would basically give it all away. So he kind of transformed the record into being this beautiful wish record.
Yeah.
And I think that's why everyone could relate to it.
Yeah, I think the sentiment behind it is totally different from what a traditional rapper would do with that. So if you had Jay-Z or Kanye doing the rap, it would be a little bit different.
That song was meant for Travis, and yeah. He killed it.
And now finally we've got you on your own. About time, really.
Here I am.
Just the Way You Are, possibly one of the most perfectly created pop songs I've heard all year.
Oh, thank you.
And I kind of look at the fact that you're about to tour, or you have been touring with One Republic.
I'm about to tour with One Republic and Maroon 5 in October.
Because I'm guessing when Ryan Tedder heard Just the Way You Are, he probably got very jealous.
You know, I met Ryan Tedder. He's a cool dude. I'm pretty sure he's not. I'm pretty sure he's fine and happy with the amount of success he has as a writer and an artist. So
He pretty much owned the last couple of years in terms of massive radio pop songs, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he can share it with Bruno Mars.
Yeah, it's about time he moved over.
In Demand.
You're listening to In Demand tonight. We have Bruno Mars with us on the show. How are you? Say you okay?
Awesome.
All right. We've just played your debut solo single, Just the Way You Are. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. What's the sentiment behind it? I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but where did it come from for you?
Well, you know, just being a big fan of simplicity. You know, I'm a big fan of songs like You Are So Beautiful and Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight, that, like you said, are just straightforward songs that I think, you know, what woman would not want to hear her man sing that to her?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys have been in a situation like I have, where you're trying to go to dinner or to a movie and your girl's in the bathroom, she's doing her hair, and you're like, come on, baby, we're going to be late. And just that could, you know, erupt a humongous fight. And you're going to... And all you're trying to tell her is you look beautiful just the way you are. And she's like, no, you're just saying that because you're rushing me. So that's what that song really is about, is an everyday, you know, fight between me and my girl, basically.
Doo-Wops and Hooligans is the name of the album. What's that all about then?
Man.
Where's it come from?
It's a lot of different things. I'm a big fan of doo-wop music. I grew up, my father always played 1950s doo-wop. And like I said, it's real simple songs. You know, I could sing you 1,000 doo-wop songs that are the same 4 chords. But they're just amazing songs because they're so simple and so to the point and, you know, just heartfelt. And I guess Doo-Wops and Hooligans is the two sides of Bruno Mars. You get the romantic side and you get the regular young man up to no good on some riffraff stuff. That's the hooligan side. So it's kind of my split personality, and I think you get to hear that on this album.
What's the most hooliganish thing you've done?
I punched a young kid right in the face. Right.
Excellent.
In the face. I just punched him.
Was he annoying you?
Yeah. He was just laughing. He was in the plane, actually, and he was just cracking up, and I punched him in the face.
Is this genuine?
No, not at all.
Was there a sky marshal who had a word with you? Can you let us into any secrets? What's coming up? Are you going to be working with anyone else we might know?
You know what? It is official. I just got, you guys are the first ones to know this, but I just did a record with Damian Marley.
Amazing.
Amazing. You know, I've been a huge, coming from Hawaii. That's all there is out there. They only play Bob Marley, and that's what I grew up listening to, and such a big fan of Damian. And I asked him if he would jump on this song on my album. And he's on it. And the song's called Liquor Store Blues, featuring Damian Marley, a legend.
Were you a little bit starstruck?
Yeah, oh, man. He's incredible.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much, Bruno.
All right, thank you so much.
You're listening to In Demand.
You're listening to In Demand with Alex and Lucy. And tonight, Lauren Pritchard is with us.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
How's it going?
All right, how are you?
I'm
amazing. Welcome to In The Band.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
A far cry from home, although you're based in the UK now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Compare and contrast Jackson, Tennessee and London. Guessing.
Can you compare and contrast them?
How many people are there in Jackson? How many people live there?
60,000.
It's fairly big.
I mean, it's a little city.
Yeah.
It's not a village and everybody knows everybody and...
That can get complicated, can't it, sometimes?
You generally see everyone between the one Starbucks in town, the Target, and like this one really good pizza place in the movie theater. You will end up sort of seeing everyone, or the sushi restaurant that's like one of the best in the southeast. It's called Sakura, and it's in Jackson, and it's delicious. Between those places, you will see everyone you know. So it's that kind of a thing. And in London... I don't actually know that I've ever run into anyone that
nobody
I know.
Nobody talks to each other.
No, people
actually,
don't.
Oddly
know, do they?
Enough, the other day I lived sort of near the infamous Westfield massive shopping mall in London, and I actually bumped shoulders into one of my best friends in London, complete on accident.
Okay. But there was an in between period where you were in LA.
I was,
because you moved
2 years
for when you were 16.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been quite scary.
No, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I was never scared about going there. I was so excited.
But you loved it.
I did.
And you end up living with Lisa Marie Presley for a couple of years. Or not a couple of years, a few months even. Is this true?
Yeah. Mm.
So how did you get to meet her? Did you already know her?
No.
You just met her in LA and somehow became friends?
Her daughter is a really good friend of mine.
Oh, is that Riley?
Yeah,
Riley? She's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, she's a model as well, isn't she?
She
and, like, she's an actress.
She used to be, but now she's doing acting. Her new film, The Runaways, comes out in the UK.
Oh, the one about Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And somewhere in this story, there's a Broadway show as well. This is just the greatest.
Show. It's almost like a made-up tale,
isn't it? It's genius.
Girl from Jackson!
It's a bit weird. I've been doing a lot of talking about myself, which seems really narcissistic.
It's your job now. You have to do it.
No, and it's very strange because I go home to Tennessee and people are like, so what have you been up to? I'm like, oh, nothing really. Because that's just how I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of see this as like my love and my passion and my job. So I just sort of am like, I don't know.
It's the norm, really.
Your life's
been
working.
Your life? Not like, what's your job? You know what I mean? That's sort of who I am.
Now, you have sang on stage with Paul Weller.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. He's the mod father. We bow down to his greatness.
He is so cool. He is such a dude and just the nicest guy in the world. And he heard the EP, the head of our label, sort of passed it along to him, completely unbeknownst to me. And... I got a phone call a few days later going, do you want to do this radio special? And I was like, excuse me, what? So I was like, no, I'm a bit busy. Sorry.
What's
no, not at all. I was like, yes. Oh my gosh.
He's really good though with new talent, and you know, he's, when we've had him on the show before, we've said, "Oh, who are you listening to?" And he just reels off like a list of names.
Do you know what? He might have mentioned you actually.
I was just thinking that.
I think he probably did.
On the ISDM we did with him.
Yeah. I don't even know why. I mean, I guess maybe because he likes it.
He likes your music.
I mean, for me, it's a massive compliment as a writer.
And at the other end of the spectrum, Professor Green, you are now mates.
Yo, bro.
Stop it.
Lauren knows all about you.
Not your calling card, man. I do know Pro Green. I met him originally through a very good friend of mine.
Exciting.
He's going to do a remix of Wasted in Jackson, which is the it's the title of the album, but it's also a song on the album.
Mm.
And he's going to do a remix of Wasted in Jackson called Wasted in Clapton, which is where he's from.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we're really excited.
Lauren Pritchard, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is In Demand. Is In Demand.
Scout for Girls are going to perform live just after 8 o'clock tonight, a 3-song set with a secret cover as well. So our specially invited audience have got questions prepared for the boys tonight. Lucy's got the first one. Who are you with, Luce?
I'm taking questions from the floor, literally. I'm actually sat on it. This is Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
What is your question, Lauren? Go for it.
If you could be any biscuit in the world, what would you be?
Now that is what you call a question and a half.
I tell you what, Lauren, I've never been asked that. I would be a pink wafer. That's from Greg. That's not me. I think I'd be a rich tea, classic, mainstream, understated. Yeah. What would you be?
A custard cream, I think.
Is that because you're soft in the middle?
Yeah.
I'm going to come over this side of the room. Just come round here. I'm glad there's gaps between these chairs. I don't know what I'd do otherwise, be climbing over people. Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name's Sharon.
This is Sharon. So, who are you asking a question to?
It's to all three of them. What's the highlight of your career so far? Obviously, other than being with us tonight.
Nice. I'll pay you later.
Yeah. Let's start with Roy.
No, absolutely. I think tonight, every time we've come back here, they bring more and more beer. So I'm always happy to see where the money's going. I always think that just getting a record deal for us was an amazing thing, because we got together when we were at school and we spent 10 years as an unsigned band, and it was really, you know, now we have lots of people who help us out, but you know, for the first 10 long years it was just the three of us doing everything, and then to get to that stage, it was an amazing achievement.
I feel like you're about to cry.
This is like Oprah.
Pete, you've got to say something else. You took the best answer.
I'd have to say it's probably getting the Easter number one.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was a special
that.
Moment. And it was great for us, and it was more down to all of you people going out there and helping us to get there.
Aww.
So, it was an Easter number one for you guys.
And Greg?
It's a little selfish one, but it was the same day as Roy's, but later on in the pub where I got to phone up and quit my job.
What were you doing at the
time? It was
awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm not coming back.
What was your job at the time?
I worked for Threshers, who have now gone bankrupt because I left.
Obviously.
In Demand.
I'm going to send Lucy back out into our winners' crowd.
I'm off.
Two more questions for the lads.
Hello, Joanna. What's your question?
I was just wondering if Scouting for Girls would please sign my photos from the last time I met them.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, of course, once we've played, we will sign whatever you want.
Does that go for everyone else as well?
Sorry?
Does that include everyone else as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
There you go. That means that everyone's kind of had a question answered, so it's nice.
Do you guys have hardcore fans who you do find follow you all over the country, wherever you go?
We have some amazing fans. We have. I think that we have the most amazing fans in the world. I am biased. That we do, yeah.
Aww.
Next question, Luce.
It's from Benita. Hello, I remember talking to you last week when we were ringing everyone back. What's your question, Benita?
Hi, boys.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to know if you've ever met Michaela Strachan.
Who's going to answer?
This relates back to we've got a hidden track on our first album called Michaela Strachan Broke My Heart When I Was 12. And she actually replied to that when she heard, before we'd even got a record deal, she let her know, and she replied back saying to apologise for breaking my heart.
Oh.
But it got better than this.
We did. We met her. She actually came to a gig in Brighton where about 3,000 people singing the song to her.
And who did she come with?
She came with Timmy Mallett.
Which was God. Was magic the budgerigar?
No, we just had a game with Mallett's Mallet. I won.
I bet she regrets breaking your heart.
Well, to be fair, look at how well these are doing. Her career could do with the booze, couldn't it?
Always amazing. Scout for Girls, thank you very much. Give them a round of applause, everyone.
You're listening to In Demand.
In Demand Wednesday with Alex and Lucy and Joe McKeldry, who gets a clap at the start of every...
Yay! Because he's lovely.
I think you might wake him up as well. You're flagging a bit, aren't you?
No, I'm fine.
You're
I'm
okay.
Fine, yes.
You've had a busy, long day. It's been a busy week as well.
Yeah, but it's been lots of fun, and I'm enjoying going up and down the country and seeing everybody and meeting lots of people. So it's been great fun.
Adam would like to know, how much of your album is original material? Because, of course, Ambitions was done by Donkey Boy.
Yes, nearly all of the album is original. There's a few covers on, but most of it's original.
Good stuff. Have you worked with anyone we might know who's worked with anyone else, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I work with a lot of different producers. I work with Dallas Austin.
Amazing.
Ray Hedges. Just lots. I was really fortunate, to be honest. I work with some pretty amazing people.
Now, something we do feel we should address with you is the fact you are super confident now. This is the Joe McKeldry that we all know and love.
Yes.
And of course, recently in the press,
yes,
you finally went, yeah, I'm gay, so what?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did it feel for you to finally be able to say to everyone, this is actually how I feel, this is who I am, I'm just going to tell you now so you know?
Yeah, it was great. And I'm so happy I discussed it and I was honest and spoke about it. And I'm just really thankful for all the support I received from everybody and the messages and everything. I couldn't have asked for a better reaction. It was really quite humbling, to be honest.
Have your family been super supportive as well?
Yeah.
Do you think they already knew?
I don't know. They might have, but... They were really supportive. You know, everybody was, and everybody was great. And I think it wasn't as big a deal as I thought it might have been. No. You know, because I think because it was me, I thought like, oh god, it's going to be a big deal. But everybody was fine with it, so it was great.
I think the interview you did was brilliant as well. The one in the paper, you were so honest and so open. And I think for someone as young as you as well, that should be applauded, definitely.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
In Demand with Alex and Lucy, Wednesday night. We're online, twitter.com/AlexandLucy. You can see Joe McKeldry's performance of his mashup, Eminem and Rihanna meets Alicia Keys, by going to our website, indemand.fm. We've got about 10 minutes left with you, Joe.
Yes.
So let's do some more questions. You're okay there?
I'm fine. I'm doing good.
You've just brought some photos to sign. Joanne, this is a good question. Can you ask Joe if he can tell us one thing about him that we don't already know?
That's pretty hot, to be honest, coming from X Factor.
Yeah, true.
And having come out in the sun.
Yeah.
How are you going to top that, mate?
Do you have any little habits, maybe?
I have a massive phobia of rats.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, like spine tingly, like petrified, freeze.
So if I just whipped a rat out from under the desk...
I would no longer be in this room.
Or
I'd be on top of the computer as
high. Like,
I don't know what it is, and it's only kind of came in the past couple of months. Like, I never used to be bothered by them, and then all of a sudden I'm just petrified.
Is it the tails?
It's the tails, and it's when they like wriggle about and just like squeak it. Oh.
Did you see those giant ones that invaded the UK during the summer?
What were they? I couldn't believe that. It was the size of a rabbit, wasn't it?
It was scary.
It was Joe in the Undercover of Darkness. He went and got them all.
Like it's that kind of, you know, where you can't even look at them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, sweaty and... Oh.
Snakes for me.
Really?
Yeah.
There's one behind you.
No. We're going to do I Demand next, but a bit differently. So we've got a list of all the songs that Joe performed on The X Factor.
Yes.
When you were competing. And you've chosen one song that you would like us to play from that selection.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got the likes of Robbie Williams' No Regrets. Week one that was on Musical Heroes Week.
It was.
Seems so long ago.
It was a year ago next weekend.
Oh, I'd forgotten about Whitney Houston. What was she like?
She was really nice. Yeah. I had a masterclass with her in the Dorchester Hotel in London. Yeah. And Clive Davis was there as well. And she was so nice. You know, she gave some really good, like, advice. And she was really helpful.
Because I'm never sure if she's going to be coherent or not. Was she fine?
Yeah, she was lovely. She was lovely in the hotel. And
good.
She was nice at the studio as well. But
it was great when her dress fell off, though, on telly, wasn't it?
I felt so sorry for her.
But it was TV gold, Joe.
Yeah, everybody was behind the cameras like, please don't, please, no.
But do you know what? Unlike Mariah Carey and that infamous video of her falling over in her shoes, where she wouldn't even get up by herself, Whitney just carried on singing like a trooper.
She wasn't bothered. She was just like, yeah, me dresses,
I'm Whitney,
come on,
whatever.
Is it true that on the night you performed with George Michael, final night, you had a cup of tea with him and Cheryl, just the three of you?
We went into his dressing room, we had a little chat, me, Cheryl and George.
What did you talk about?
We're just talking about X Factor, actually, because he's a big fan of it, and he had watched his tribute show, you know, when we did the George Michael songs, and he was chatting about that, and he was just, he was really normal.
Oh, did you have a picture taken with him and everything?
I did, yes. I did. And he sent a really nice bottle of champagne when I won as well.
Oh, bless
and,
him.
Which was really nice with a nice note on. He sent it at the hotel I was staying at. And I thought, you know, that's really nice because he didn't have to do that. So.
No.
You're listening to In Demand.
So you're going to go into rehearsals next week for the live show.
For the X Factor performance.
Which is the week after...
Yes.
Well, it's next weekend.
It's next weekend.
Oh my God, it's that quickly. Ah. So it's Judges Homes this weekend.
They've got double bill Judges live Homes, show, first live show.
Which will be your night.
Yeah.
Scary.
I'm really so exciting.
I'm nervous. But you know, it's kind of my... It's time for us to go back and have a bit of fun now, you know.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to enjoy it now. You
totally
own it, man.
Enjoy it, yeah. That's the aim.
Do you have any favourites so far this year?
I like Cher.
Oh, I love her.
If she gets through, I'm really interested because the boot camp performance, I was like, whoa, that is really different.
Yeah.
And I got a bit of a shock by it. So I'm interested to see if she gets through, what she'll do on the live shows with the songs. Because she seems to know, she seems to got her own little thing going on.
She's savvy, isn't she? She's not silly. Like she's, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. And I think with a bit of guidance, she would be amazing.
Yeah.
And I really like Gamu as well. I thought she was amazing. And is it Matt, the painter and decorator?
Oh my God, he's got the voice of an angel.
He's got some voice.
Yeah.
He has got some voice.
And you're not expecting it because he looks quite gruff. He's got a bit of stubble going on. And then all of a sudden.
And he sang First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. Oh. And I was like, that is amazing. And he could have released that. It was so good.
Yeah.
We've got to ask though, have you been tempted to text Cheryl at some point over the last few weeks and ask her whether she's put Cher through to the live rounds yet?
Well, but I don't want to put her in that position because she's just done Judges Houses, so she knows who she's picked, but I don't want, because, you know.
Well, and I think
she spoil the element of surprise as a punter watching the show.
I think
as well.
Cher has to go through, and Cheryl was her biggest fan at her first audition. Her face lit up when Cher walked on that stage, so.
Yeah. It's always really difficult though because you never know what's going to happen at judges' houses. And with the pressure, you forget words and being in a different country, and it's a hard one.
Yeah. So, hey, you got a good one last year though, didn't you? Morocco.
Marrakesh,
that was nice.
It's all right. Not too shabby.
Better than this year. Where are they, Hertfordshire? Goddamn malaria.
No.
She wasn't allowed to travel.
That flipping mosquito.
Well, to be honest, somebody taught me that, right? And you know, you don't even have time to see the place because you're that busy rehearsing your song, and it would have probably actually been easier if it was in England because you wouldn't have to spend the journey on the plane and you can just spend the whole time rehearsing. So in the long run, it would have probably been better for them being in Hertfordshire.
Okay, and obviously all Danny's contestants got to go to Australia. Is Danny lovely? I always think she looks like a lovely lady.
She is so nice. She's honestly, she was really, really supportive of me on the show. And I was so thankful for that. And I still keep in touch with her now. And she's such a lovely woman.
Especially because, Kelly Osbourne says some really horrible things about her lately. And I'm like, oi, shut it. Yeah. Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
We like Danny.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks very much for coming to see us.
Thank you for having us. I've really enjoyed it.
Aww. Answering the questions on Twitter and on the text as well. What's your Twitter account, sir?
My Twitter is JoeMcKeldry91.
Okie doke. And thank you for choosing some amazing songs.
Thank you.
And doing that cover for us too.
You're welcome.
Also amazing. You've given us so much this evening, Joe.
You're joy. The X-Factor winner that gives joy. Back.
We gave you our votes. You have returned the favour.
Thank you.
You're a worthy winner, so we've got one more song to play. And this is the song, since you got here about 5 hours ago now. You've just been going on and on and on and on and on and on about this song.
Do you have an app?
What's it going to be?
It's my favourite song at the minute. It's Chantel, Impossible.
Let's play it. Joe McKeldry, thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.